Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the December 21st, 2023 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Audit Committee. This meeting is also available telephonically for access by the public. DJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they can call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers. Members of the public can visit the RI Housing website, view the agenda and information on each of the actions being taken this morning. In the event the teleconference portion is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio can be restored. Chairman of the Audit Committee, Treasurer Diosa, will preside this morning. Commissioners, invited guests, and staff, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of our record keeper. With that, I will invite the committee chairman to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Hey, good morning. This is James Diosa, and I'd like to call the meeting to order. It is currently 10:35 a.m. I'll ask Carol to conduct the roll call, please.
Thank you. Committee Chair Diosa.
Here.
Committee Member Orr.
Here.
Committee Member Pryor.
Here.
Committee Member Womer.
Here.
Commissioner McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral.
Here.
Treasurer.
Thank you very much, Carol. I'd like now to introduce the topic, which is the review of the 2023 fiscal year and audit results. I'd like to introduce Kara, the Chief Financial Officer, who will present the review.
Thank you, Treasurer. This is Kara LaChapelle. Our external auditors are here. I'd like to introduce them. They have their presentation, and certainly as we go through it, if you have questions, I will also interject, you know, with some of the answers if they're more on the financial side of the presentation. Our auditors are from CLA, Clifton Larson Allen, and we have Stephen Gross, who is the manager on the audit. We have Vanessa Rosito, who was an engagement principal, and Ron Nosek, who was the technical principal on the audit. So I'll turn it over to you, and you all should have the presentation in front of you.
So this is Ron Nosek. I'll go first. I was the engagement principal for quite a few years here at Rhode Island Housing. I stepped back from that role this year. Matt Cadino stepped into that role. Matt has since decided to leave our industry group. He's going to stay with the firm, but he's moving on. So we're entering Vanessa Rizzio into the fold, if you will. She'll be taking over and principal moving forward. I retire a week from tomorrow, so in this audit that we'll be going over for fiscal year ending 2023, I serve as technical in a technical capacity, so not really close to the granularity of the engagement or what was going on here, more from the perspective of financial statement questions or perhaps auditing questions relative to scope and things of that nature. Vanessa has served in the past as the technical advisor and technical reviewer of this engagement, so she certainly is very familiar with the entity and the ongoings of Rhode Island Housing. And Steve has been with Rhode Island Housing and on this engagement for quite a few years, so he truly is the continuity of the team, and we're rooting for Steve to get to the principal position pretty soon, and at that point in time, if we're still fortunate enough to be serving you, then he would step into that role. So, you want to introduce yourself, Vanessa, or just turn over to Steve?
Just quickly, Vanessa Rizzio, principal at CLA, and I have reviewed this engagement previously before we were CLA when we were in Shapiro and we kind of did our own review. But the difference at CLA, we have a national review group that does that, but I am with it and have been in the industry for 32 years.
All
All right, so Stephen Gross, Audit Manager, COA. If everyone has their slides in front of them, we can get started. So this is all for the 2023 fiscal year audit. First off, I just want to thank management and staff for all their hard work. Really, this is a very compressed audit timeline that we have because of both the state and regulatory filing requirements with the federal government. So I just want to thank them for all their hard work. Without their dedication, I just want them able to get out on a timely basis. All right, so moving to the agenda, I'm going to go over to the engagement proposal, the financial statement summary, this required communication to governance, which is all of you, from us as your auditors, some of the next steps, and as that, you know, we don't get a reasonable touch during the meeting that we can go over at that time, all right? The next page is just all of our contact information. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to any one of us. We'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Anything you need that management can answer those, or if you have something that you want to address to us personally, feel free to reach out. So the next slide, the engagement. So we had two opinions that we issued in relation to the engagement. One is a opinion on the financial statements as a whole. We issued an unmodified or clean opinion, which is the highest level of opinion you can get, saying that the financials are free of any material misstatements. The other report is a report on internal controls or financial reporting on compliance and other matters based on the audited financial statements. This is also referred to as a GAAP letter, which is governmental auditing standards, and we have issued a clean report on that as well with no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies that were noted during our procedures. On to the next page, we cover the statement of opposition. Pretty much, if you look in the financial statement, the MD&A, which is the management discussion and analysis, pretty much gives a very high level review, and most of this is derived from that, and pretty much management's ability to project out future years, what happened in the current year. I always point you first to look at the MD&A because that really gives you like what's occurring within around housing. But just to give a couple of the major points, total assets increased $285 million. Or 11% from the prior year. Cash decreased $104 million, or 23% from the prior year. Mortgage and other loan receivables, net and mortgage loans held for sale increased by $86 million, or 6.4%. And this is resulting strongly from strong mortgage lending, specifically in multifamily loans. Total liabilities increased $306 million, or 13.5% from the prior year. Those payroll bonds payable increased $257.8 million, or 14.6%, due primarily to the issuance of $263.7 million of single-family bonds and $61 million of multifamily bonds to finance new loan production. Bond principal repayments and redemptions during the year totaled $55.3 million of single-family bonds and $85.6 million of multifamily bonds. Total assets exceeded total liabilities by $310.8 million, representing a decrease in net position of $23.2 million. Moving to the next page, this is more of a P&L, so the statement of revenue, expenses, and changes in net position. Operating revenue decreased $77 million, or 20.6% from the prior year. The primary factor of the decrease was grant revenue of $93.9 million, or 37.3%, caused by a reduction of grant activity. Operating expenses for the year decreased to $82.8 million, or 22.7% from the prior year. The decrease was primarily the result of decreased grant expenses of $93.9 million. So when your grant expenses go down, you can't recognize as much grant revenue, so they kind of go hand in hand for the decrease. The loss of the adjusting investments to fair value was $39 million, and that's the result of current market activity during that year. Net interest income increased $47.5 million from $43 million, which represents an increase of 10.5% from the prior year.
back to the Yellow Book gas report on the next slide. Again, there was no financial statement findings that we've noted, and we also have no management letter comments that were provided to management either. On the next slide is our part governance communications. So there's responsibility as auditors for to communicate to you as management under the auditing standards. There's no changes of our planning scoping for our engagement. There was the implementation of GATSB 96 Sevilla, which is the subscription-based IT agreement for tax are considered long-term, so greater than 12 years. We noticed that there were such agreements that were down housing, but there weren't enough in aggregate to be required to report on the financials. So we kept on reporting those as they were deemed to be material. We evaluated management's estimates and we were comfortable with them. The significant estimates that we noted that management made were loan loss reserves related to mortgage receivable and the OPEB liability. The disclosures were natural, consistent, and clear. There was no inadequate or omitted disclosure to send to the financial statements. We experienced no significant delays or any disagreements with management. There was no material audit adjustments, and there was no uncorrected misstatements. Moving on to the next slide, next step. Unfortunately, our work with Rhode Island Housing never ends. There's always plenty to do here. So currently we're moving into a single audit process, which determines what major programs we have to test for Rhode Island Housing. And those are listed below as Housing Voucher Cluster, Homeowners Assistance Fund, Qualified Participating Entities Rent Sharing, Emergency Rental Assistance Program through ARPA, then the ESL, the FLRC, or also known as Coronavirus State and Local Recovery, Fiscal Recovery Fund. And lastly, we also have filed the Rhode Island Housing financial statements with the REAC system for Housing Choice Voucher Program and the MOG REAC program. And with all that, is there any questions that anyone has?
Good. Thank you for that presentation. I'll open it up to the committee for any questions.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Maybe this is more for you, Carol.
Okay.
The net position asset ratio, mm-hmm. that you have in the executive summary of dropping down to 10.7%. Now, I'm assuming that includes the breakdown of fair market value of the investments.
That's correct.
Okay. So, traditionally, we would not present it that way. Maybe we would add that back in.
Yes.
Right. This is Kara. So just a little bit about the market write-down, what's called the unrealized gain or loss on investments. We are holding our investments to maturity. So if we were a private company, we would not be reporting that unrealized loss because it will never come to bear unless we sold those investments, which we won't be doing. So the ratios that Commissioner is speaking of do include that unrealized loss. So it's a little bit of, it skews the numbers a little bit. Because of governmental accounting standards, we are required to record that unrealized loss, even though we don't anticipate to have any loss on
so
investments.
I don't have my 12C with me today, but is it so we're maybe about 12% if we add it back in?
So we look at the ratios the way Standard & Poor's looks at the ratios,
yes.
And we're closer to 15%.
Well, we are. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear. Okay, great.
For the record, these questions are being presented by Commissioner Orth. Thank you.
And just one other question.
Please.
Thank you. This might be getting a little bit into the weeds, but the main state housing portfolio that we manage,
mm-hmm.
Can you let us know where that is, I guess, from a revenue and expense standpoint and our contract and if we're going to continue that on?
So certainly. This is Kara, and Leslie McKnight, our Director of Servicing, she can correct me if I misstate in terms of the contract timing. So we do receive income from that portfolio. The net that we receive is approximately $900,000 to $1 million a year. It is a very active portfolio. They've got in excess of 6,000 loans that we service for them. Our contract, I believe we have one more year on the current contract.
Correct. It was a 3-year contract with the option to renew for 2 years, so the contract does expire in December of 2024. So we are going to begin our review process for pricing and that discussion with Lindsay Housing about a potential renewal for an additional 2 years.
Okay.
We would fully want to continue that.
Yeah. Easily folded in.
Yeah. I mean, Leslie's team does an excellent job, and there's staff on the ground in Maine that also works with us. If we could expand this, we definitely would.
Okay. Well, that was it was supposed to be a test case.
Maybe we could add that capability. I don't know that there are any other opportunities out there, though. I think a lot of them are master servicing.
Which is different than what we're doing with self-servicing.
Yeah, too much exposure to us.
Yes. and I'm sorry, just one other quick clarification.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is for Kara, really. Just with this really rapid drop in rates out there right now, and I know we just issued a lot of bonds at a much higher rate than the market is right now.
Okay.
And our individual borrowers can obviously prepay at any point, assuming they can get another mortgage out there that, you know, that they would qualify for.
That's right.
But within the bond resolutions, I realize that we can't redeem those bonds as rapidly as individual homeowners will be prepaying their mortgages. So do you see any risk there to us?
So this is Kara. When we are issuing bonds, we look at the prepayment speeds that we expect on the loans that we're making at the time. We also look at liquidity within the bond resolution to make sure that in the case of, you know, rapid prepayments, we're still able to make our debt service payments. That's also what the rating agencies look at as well, and they have various loss scenarios to make sure that if we're not receiving payments or if someone pays off early, we're still able to make those scheduled payments.
So you don't see that as a, okay.
No, and we've also layered in some shorter term bonds.
We issued a lot of variable, so that we can pay
some of them off as the payments come in.
Okay, great, thank you. No further questions?
Thank you. Anything that we should keep an eye on, anything that is pointing in the wrong direction or trending, something that you are just going to look at?
Stephen Gross, COA, audit manager. I think ideally the most important thing that you guys should really keep an eye on, just because, you know, an ever-digitalizing world, that especially with all the cyber attacks that have occurred over the past decade, that's really something of focus. It should be IT control.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, commissioners?
Since you raised that, we are actually kicking off at the Department of Administration. So,
Commissioner Wolf.
Sorry, thank you very much. we're kicking off, you know, some partnerships. We've been working with municipalities on cybersecurity and independent testing. So at some point it pleases the organization, and we can connect that group with Rhode Island Housing to get go through a test scenario. Mm-hmm. We have a partnership with the federal government that's working through that.
Great.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. I'll
pass it back to you, Carol.
Thank you. So no other comments at this time. I just want to thank the audit firm for their assistance, and certainly our team who works on the audit. Our director of accounting, Nancy Bacon, is here as well, who really coordinates all the work that goes into it. So we appreciate all the hard work, and thank you for your time.
I think you can all feel very confident in Carol's leadership in our finance area.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the clean reports.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your retirement.
Yep.
Thank
you very much. Hopefully the handicap goes down.
All right. Do we move on and take a motion to approve?
To adjourn.
To adjourn. Okay. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved. And a second.
Second,
John. This is Corey Myers speaking with a motion made by Commissioner McAllister and seconded by Commissioner Woolmer. All those in favor of joining this meeting say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. TJ, please.